Here shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we want to just bow our hearts and our minds at this time, Lord, to your holy will, that by revelation, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we might know exactly the word that was given us in this hour with the perfect understanding we haven't had previously. Lord, we pray it shall become a flame to us, O God, a literal life, Lord. Just not a light to guide us, Lord, but we want a light to live in us, Father, because your own word says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We know, Lord, it has to be an inner drive, it has to be an inner force. And we pray it shall be that light and that life, Lord, that takes us over, making us truly temples of the Holy Ghost. And all kindred one with another through that light, that life within us. So help us tonight to study your word, Lord. In faith, receive it, O God, and may it produce the results which we believe it will and you like, that you've ordained it to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this is number 17 of the Anointed Ones of the End Time. And before we start reading, it's well to read our text again in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. The false Christ and the false prophets are the same persons. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, of course it is not, they shall deceive the very elect. Now here we notice that the subject of deceit are the ones talked about are false prophets, and the objects of their deceit is everyone but the very elect. We also notice that their appearance is just before the resurrection and rapture. Thus we can easily see that they are responsible for the love of the lie that is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 10 and 11 and in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 12 that pronounces God's judgment because of the deception they perpetrate upon the people. So we'll just read that in 2 Thessalonians in order to see exactly what these false anointed ones, or these anointed ones that are false to the word, are working out in the plan of Almighty God. Now, it says here then in 10 and 11, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, that is, they're completely fooled, as to concerning the revelation of the Word of God. And why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So therefore the reception is what you need here. You have to have an open spirit. And for this cause, that's the turning down of the Word, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie that they all might be judged, condemned, damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So you can see here the crux of the end time is the showdown of righteousness and unrighteousness, which definitely has to do with some type of setting forth of a truth, which would have to be a final ultimate, and they turning it down, receiving the ultimate and the ultimation of God, will positively then be damned, because they did not turn to that truth. So you can see who's causing this problem here. It's these false prophets. Now, it is very necessary to be exceedingly careful as we think of prophets leading the people away from the truth by what they preach and teach, because we might well be apt to think that they will suddenly declaim some wild, hitherto unknown doctrine brought out in meetings where they will dramatically and spectacularly prophesy their errors while under some forceful power or some demonstration. This is absolutely not so. So you see, you might have been thinking of latter rain and somebody coming on the scene and say, listen, let's get the picture. This does not have much to do with the Methodists. They've been dead a long time. It has little or nothing to do with the Lutherans. They've been dead a long time. It had nothing to do with the Catholics. It has to do with Pentecost, because the life has come out of the shuck to the green. So really what you're looking at Pentecost, and you're looking at Pentecost with this wild spiritual gyrations. They're talking in tongues to their discredit. They're prophesying, which many times is inane, and once in a while hits on the spot. But anything goes. You are not looking at that, my brother and my sister, when we're talking about this. What you're looking at is what the prophet taught. This is absolutely not so. These are denominational ministers who are anointed by the Holy Spirit to the end that they have a miracle and sign ministry or ministries that indeed are of God, but they are not truly inspired to receive the correct revelation of the word of truth and so teach against the truth. That is what these people are. So calm down your thinking and just take it for exactly what it is. Just like their wolves in sheep clothing, which shows they've got good character. They're stable. They're fine. All of the things are there, but the word is missing. And these people are not going around with their gyrations. No, they've been like your Dr. Peels and other men of great stature. And they're fine men, nothing against the men per se. But the Bible speaks of them, so therefore we speak. It'd be nice if the Church of Christ would speak where the Bible speaks. They haven't got a clue, though. Now, these are the Catholic and Lutheran and Wesleyan Pentecostal ministers. They are now no so-called Christian representative groups that do not have someone or many who have turned to power ministries and yet adhere to the denominational doctrine, saying we are vindicated in our doctrine for we have the same signs and wonders. So what you're looking at here is that there are not any more groups left that doesn't have one representative or more in them who have taken to this. And you can see them everywhere. You'll see Nazarenes turning, Baptists turning, and you just any number. We, Brother Branham, had some Mennonites or Amish people up around Plymouth, Indiana, and you can see them everywhere. They're just coming to it. These false prophets are the buzzards that follow the true prophet. That is to say, they come after the true prophet. They don't follow him. They follow him only a sequence of time. They can't stand the new and revealed truth. Their meat is the dead doctrine of other ages. The Lutherans seem unable to recall that Luther could not stomach the rotten caring of the Catholics. The Wesleyans have forgotten they left the stench of dead Lutheranism. The Pentecostals can't recall how they left the dead man of the Methodists. And the Catholics could not come to justification, and the Lutherans failed to come to sanctification, and the Methodists denied the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so the Pentecostals have denied the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ and His prophet according to Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. So with that in mind, we can start reading where we left off at. And we're over here on page 52 at the top in paragraph 224. Remember, repeating what I said, you couldn't feed a Lutheran back in those days, though you can now, Catholic carrion. You couldn't give them Catholic doctrine. They were fed up to the gunnels on them. No, sir. Luther had fresh meat. What he got never came out of the Catholic Church. Bypassed the Catholic Church. That was that church age. You couldn't feed a Methodist the Lutheran message. Oh, no. He didn't want that carrion. It's rotten. See, the life had left it, and it went into something else. Now, this is what's hard for people to understand. They simply cannot understand that. And you know why they can't? Because, let's face it, what they had was the truth at that time. And if they'd have stuck to the true principles of justification, that never leaves. You still have justification, sanctification, baptism. There's no problem there. What it is, it's become simply a ritual to them. The life has moved on. And the people who get the life in the next age, it's the same life. It's a good life. There's no problem there. Now, he didn't want that carrying. It's rotten. See, the life had left it, and it went into something else. Now, watch how he puts it. That's the old stock that's dead back there. The life is moving on. Now, you don't throw away the stock until it comes time for the burning. It's got to remain there. But the life is not there anymore. And people think it's there, but it's not. Neither can you feed the bride of Jesus Christ Pentecostalism. No, indeedy. Maggot-blown organizations, nothing doing. No, no, for the promise is, and before the great and dreadful day shall come, I'll send unto you Elijah the prophet, and he shall restore the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers again. Now, what Brother Branham is saying here is that the word has to have a carrier. And as it passes on, the evidence as it goes from, you know, age to age, and through the process of like a plant, that's your example. And as it passes on, the evidence of the life appears in another form, and the old form is dry and lifeless. That's what happened. The Catholic Church at one time started out right, it went wrong. And then Luther came on the scene, it started right, it went wrong. And you see, God never did raise it up. That's one thing to watch, we'll see later on here. God never did revive it and bring it back. Now, all these promises have been made in the Bible. I will do it, and there the eagles will gather. All that the Father has given me, that's the elect, will come to me. Now, you'll notice in here, he said he'll restore the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Now, that's in Malachi 4, 5 and 6. But also, you'll notice in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, the mighty messenger, the great one that was on the throne, in Revelation 4 and 5, came down to this earth where the seals are open and the thunders come forth, because the thunders are upon the earth. They are not in heaven. Now let's look at this in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. See the eagles coming together. And remember, this second chapter follows where the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven, which is right over here, the ring of angels, and Christ in the midst. That's that one, which is the Son of Man revealed in heaven. It's the same one as over in Luke, I think, chapter 18, maybe a little later on, maybe 21. Yeah. And his mighty messengers and flames of fire taking vengeance on. And then down here, it says, based upon that, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence, which is brought into view, 1963, of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him. The word is gathering the people into a rapture. Now this is not a coming out. They came out and they were no more gathered unto God than nothing. They were baptized unto Moses. Didn't mean a thing to many of them. Out of the gang that came out, there were only two over the age of 20 that went in. So figure that. At the time of Noah, there was only one genetically perfect man. That was Noah, and seven went in with him. So how many are going to go in at the last day with the perfect prophet? In other words, a man with the one 100% true revelation. Very, very few. So, all right, we've had this. We've had the opening of the seals. And those now that come in are being gathered to him out of the group that came out in order to be with those that are raised from the dead and to meet with those who are gathered with the trumpeting, because the last trump gathers them to the wedding supper. So, all right, that's what you see there. Okay, 225. Jesus never tried that. What's that? Well, he never tried to bring them anything old like the message of Moses. Now watch, but when Jesus came, he found them. Found what? The vultures. The false prophets. Swarms of vultures. All right. Who said we've got Moses and the law. All right, let's look at this from the first point. Number one, the prophet of God was there. Two, the false prophets were already there. For the old manna had bred them. That's right. The old manna had bred them. That naturally. They got to be reared on the old junk. Now, let's look at another point. Jesus came, and when he came, they were already there. Go back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Abel's life was in Adam already, when Cain's life was also there in the serpent. They were both there at the same time. Twins waiting to be manifested. The tares also were there at the time of the wheat. So you notice that these things are together. They will come up together. And you'll notice he'll be talking about the rain and the sun ripening. So watch it. We've got Moses and the law. See, we've got Moses and the law. We've got Luther and the doctrine. We've got Wesley and that. And of course the Pentecostals claim to have had God the pillar of fire, and they're all wrong. God didn't come that way. See, well, that was good eating way back yonder when it was killed and given to them fresh. See, That was all right then, but this is what was predicted to Moses himself that killed the sacrifice and said, "The Lord your God shall raise up among you of your own brethren a prophet, and it'll come to pass that everyone that will not cling to that prophet," and it comes to pass that everyone will not cling to that prophet, and what he says will be cut off from amongst the people. Okay, this has to do with Acts the 3rd chapter, which we read many, many times. Now, the Lord at the end time has promised that there'll be the prophet Elijah. And the people, Brother Branham said, must cling to that man. Now, why are they going to cling to that man? For one reason, the Word. And at this point, you have no reason to cling to Brother Branham as a prophet for anything else except the Word. And I'm afraid most people have lost track of that. What is a prophet all about? The Word. Now, I don't care, brother, sister, if the trappings are there. That is the vindication is there. That's fine, because you can't go for something that's not vindicated. But you must remember one thing. What is being vindicated? Not the person, per se, although that is true. But the vindication is there to let you know the Word is right. So God simply vindicate the person to the end that you might know that the Word is right. So therefore, you look for the Word exclusively. People are still looking for manifestation. They're looking for Brother Branham's son to rise up or this one to rise up. Let me tell you something. We've either had it or we haven't had it. Because at the times of the opening of the seals, that brings about a time when you cannot add to the Word. You cannot close it. It's in a mainstream now of eternity and time have melted together. They've come together. And he that is righteous still. And he that is filthy still. Take it or leave it. And that's before the resurrection. So I don't know what people are looking for. All I know is that I advise you keep your eyes on the Word. And cling to the prophet in this respect. There are too many people who rose up after the prophet died, and even before he died, and said, "Well, just don't make too much of Brother Branham." You cannot ever make too much of Brother Branham in the right sense of the word. No, sir, you cannot. Because you could have water to pour upon your desert. And if there's no conduit, then you won't have the water. It's going to be spilled. So thank God for the conduit. I just don't understand people. And frankly, I don't intend to try to understand them. God give me peace from all this hogwash that's going on. They were too sure they might make too much of the prophet. He ended up where? Ha! They don't even know that Christ is in our midst by the Holy Ghost. See? 2:26. Look how about 600 different prophecies were fulfilled right there of the Old Testament to Jesus Christ. They pierced my hands and my feet. I don't know there were 600. There could have been. I don't know. But there were many, many, many fulfilled within a matter of 24 to 48 hours. And a bunch of them the last 7 or 8 hours. I forget how many were fulfilled in the last 7 or 8 hours of his life. All those prophets said it perfectly. Well, what about now? You think God has turned the clock back and said, "Well, I don't think I'll bother anymore with this kind of stuff. I'll just, you know, throw it to the winds." If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, stands behind his word to perform it. And he's going to get honor and glory in himself. You better believe it's going to be letter perfect just like here. And there's nothing in this hour that hasn't been fulfilled. And the vindicated prophet ought to have known what he said. Because he said, "Show me one thing hasn't been fulfilled." Now people say, "What about the tent vision?" I don't know the first thing about that tent vision. I can't read that here in the book. It's likely here someplace. But don't ask me to do it. Wait till the prophet gets back and talk to him. In the meantime, if you butt your head against that, you'll miss all of this. Don't be ridiculous, brother, sister. Brother Branham warned looking down the road, looking down. They've been looking down the road for 20 solid years. We've been looking at this for 20 solid years. Since 1977, 10 solid years, we haven't changed our tune for one second. Presence, 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 everything goes with it. And there's been a constant unfolding of the Word of God. Why shouldn't there be? Well, my goodness me, if you honor the head, don't you think the head will honor the feet? I believe so. If I prophesied today that a certain thing would happen a year from now, maybe I got a 20% chance for it to happen, whether it's just right or wrong. And if I predicted that that would happen and didn't say when, I got a smaller percent. If I predicted when it would happen, it gives me a smaller margin still. If I predicted a place it happened, it gives me a still smaller margin. If I predicted who it would be on, then I got about 100,000th of margin it ever coming to pass if it's not true. And every word, hallelujah, that was written to that Messiah was fulfilled to the letter. And then again, I say, what about today? When he comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 12, Luke 17, Revelation 10, Malachi 4, and so on. Even till today, one reading the scriptures, he stopped right in the middle of the sentence, that's Isaiah 61, and said, the Spirit of God is upon me to preach the gospel and deliver the captive. And stop right there in the middle of the sentence, because the rest of it, it's at his second coming. Now, you know something? Everybody knows that's true. They know it's true. And they'll tell you that. There's nobody that doesn't have a note. See how wonderful. See how accurate. Then why did they throw aside Malachi 4, 5, and 6? That's the thing you're looking at. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word shall not pass away. 2:28. He was the word then that was feeding them at that time. Moses told them the truth. Now, that word that was feeding them, which was Christ, what is Brother Branham actually saying? He's saying the living manifested word feeds us today. Because something has got to die to give us life. And something that's going to give us life must be living. It cannot be dead. That is always dead. It's got to have had life, and then it's consumed. So therefore, the Word of God, then he's talking about the Logos today, came on the scene, giving us the truth. Now he said he was the Word then that was feeding them at that time. Moses told them the truth. Now, there's no problem there as to even Luther having told them the truth. You follow what I'm saying? But Jesus never brought Moses' message. Moses looked forward. Luther looked forward to Wesley, perhaps not knowing it. There's no problem with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost having given truth for their day. They're not a bunch of liars. They organized. And therefore, they died when they organized. Because Pentecost, I heard him. I told you about Upton. Reverend George Upton. He's supposed to be living still for all, and it could be 100 years old. I don't know what he is, and I care less. That's his business and God's business. But he knew the truth of what they claim about the book of Acts. There's no amen written on it. Therefore, there should be an unfolding. But they took that for the signs and the things that transpired, ignoring how Paul brought the word to the Gentiles apart from any of the apostles and by direct revelation, face to face with God like Moses in a pillar of fire. They closed, they don't know that the book is still open. That had to happen again. But you see, they're off the word. Now, there's nothing wrong and no problem for Wesley, Luther, and the rest of them. I've got no fuss there. Nobody has. But they didn't keep on. But you see, they always make a denomination out of it for the vultures. The vultures have to come from denomination. John the Baptist never came from organization. Jesus never came. Moses never. Nobody ever came. Nobody. Check your scriptures like Brother Brandon did. Now, but you see, they always make a denomination out of it for the vultures. There's some of that true message, the truth, that was told, that's left over. After the eagles have eaten and gone home. See? They're tucked away in sleep. Then they're waiting to see something else. The word they say. Now watch. Here it's supposed to come. We had caribou yesterday. We have sheep tomorrow. And that's right. See what I mean? If you got caribou yesterday, you better have something else tomorrow. There's old caribou carcass down there bloating. But we've got sheep coming today. Where's it at? Well, it's not in the denominations. See? No way. The hour today is emphasized for a new message. See what I mean? Angel food. The people that eat manna one day, if they tried to keep it over for the next day, it got contaminated. Don't you see all the types, how perfect? In other words, there's a new message for the new hour. And there's proof of the message. In every age, as you type it, you can see here there always was a message. Fresh word coming up. Same now. Notice the vultures of Jesus' day were also casting out devils, anointed ones, on the old carcass. Now watch that. Now, because it's going to break today, and it's always held true on the old carcass. See? Is that right? They were casting out devils in Jesus' day. Jesus said so. He sure he did. He said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? And remember, they had prophets also in those days. So they got casters out of devils and prophets. Caiaphas, the high priest, prophesied. How many know that? Caiaphas prophesied. Now, notice. Be very careful here. Notice the position of the weed in the field. Now, you could say, well, I think it means the position of the weeds in the field means that they're just all mixed together in there, and they're not in rows so that you can really pick them out. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about Caiaphas, who is the head or the high priest. So, if organized religion looks to anybody, it's not going to be the prophet of God. It's going to be one of their own buzzards. Now, sir, that's the position. Watch the position of the weed, single, in the field. Now, watch what came on Caiaphas, because he's talking about Caiaphas, the headship. It's watered by the same anointing. So you could have the Pope of Rome, the present assemblies of God, the presbyters, wherever he is, the Presbyterian Church, the chief honcho of the Baptist, every single one with the same Spirit of God anointed them that fell on Brother Branham, but didn't get any further in their spirit. Why did the Bible say he prophesied? Because he was high priest that year. In other words, he had an office to fulfill. So God anointed him. These buzzards have got an office to fulfill. So God's going to anoint them. Don't feel bad. Why would you feel bad? It's supposed to happen. You think God's not smart enough to know what he's doing? Well, he said, I'll anoint those fellows to this office. Sure. Oh, yeah, he said, the genuine signs and wonders, he said. Oh, no problem at all. Why, he said, they'll be so deceived, and everybody, they'll come on the great day of judgment when the all-seeing eye God lays everything bare and say, did we not do so-and-so? Hey, look. Now, Lord, you know we didn't do that without your name. So we got it. No, you haven't got it. Now, you do what you want about it. This is the Bible. Now, you think theologians are going to believe this? Well, if he's a right theologian, he wouldn't. Why did the Bible say he prophesied? Because he was high priest that year. A rotten scavenger. A weed and a thistle sitting amongst the wheat. But the Spirit of God was upon him. The genuine Holy Spirit of God. The anti-authority anointed with authority. That's right. If he'd have been full of the Holy Ghost, he would have recognized the word of the hour, and all concerning it. Now you see, he's going to become an authority with the Holy Ghost himself. Remember, Judas was the devil. The temple of the devil. The devil himself entered him. The Holy Spirit of God was upon him to preach, prophesy, and foretell it to come to pass, and denied and crucified the very vindicated word of the hour. Looks like there's a mistake here. They got capitalized him. The Holy Spirit was upon Christ, but it was but that's capital. But upon Caiaphas, that's a small h. Holy Spirit of God was upon Caiaphas. He prophesied, he preached. What he foretold came to pass, and he denied and crucified the very vindicated word of the hour. That's Hebrews 6. Oh, mercy, brother, how much longer do we have to say these things? How much more through the Scripture? In other words, he's making an overkill because the people still don't understand it. They say, well, how can it happen? How can it happen? Well, it happened. They made a geat, haven't they? How do they call it? A sheep and a goat. They took the, who's here into genetics? Newsweek today. Maybe it's a geesh, sheep. Yes, it's a goat and a sheep. It's hybrid, of course. Why are you looking at it? It's there. Sure enough. I'll hurry. Got about 10 page scripture, 2:30. The sun shines on the just and the unjust the same. Or the same sun in the same way, and the same rain in the same way comes upon both the tare and the wheat. Jesus said to prove this, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, by whom do your children cast them out? Now you notice that both catch the inspiration. The true and the false catch the inspiration. Now listen to me, I'm going to tell you a little word. The word in the Greek is epiphaneia. The word in theological understanding can be called epiphany. And when you have your epiphany, it means your great illumination. So the sun that came from the east to the west and shone, as lightning lighteth from one part to the other part, that's the epiphaneia. And at the same time, there's going to be an epiphany. The epiphany of the true and the epiphany of the false. And they both get it. And the one gets it entirely wrong. Oh, hey, this is great. You can do this. And man, when we can do this, we know we're right. Because this is the right way. Isn't that nice? Now, could you think of anything more deceiving? If you can, you're smarter than God. Because God uses God to deceive. God himself deliberately set out and he did it. Nobody can do a thing about it because God does it. As I said many a time in this church here, everybody outsmarts himself, even the devil. Nobody but God is smart enough so he doesn't outsmart himself. Now, a lot of people think that God does because they read this book wrong. But he takes the wise in their own craftiness and brings them to nothing. This here is fantastic when you see what's happened. How could God miss in a deal like this? Now they were casting out devils. They were prophesying, is that right? But did not recognize him being the word of that hour. Why? Because he wasn't associated with them. In other words, he came out apart from them. Now he said on that basis, because that's what he's talking about, take Matthew 24:24. False Christ, anointed one, will arise. Now where will they arise from? Within the organizations and denominations. They'll be a part of. And they'll be false prophets prophesying, teaching and preaching. And it will deceive the very elected if it were possible, but it's not. You got it now? All right. They're ordained to deceive and lead astray. 2 Timothy, the 3:1-9. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He's talking to the elect and to everybody in general also, every believer. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, and holy. Now when it says men shall love themselves, what does that speak to you of? Satan loving himself. He was the cherub that covered. He led in the worship. And he loved himself. He got puffed up. He esteemed himself. Lepers of them own selves are proud and arrogant. All they can do is see themselves. My opinions, my understanding, my this, my that. For men to be lovers of their own selves. Any love toward God to proceed out of their own love. Covetous. Want everything for themselves. Boasters. They're arrogant. They're proud. They're puffed up. They're blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. Fierce. Despise those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Your Dayton paper and your U.S. Today is just full of the Tammy and Jimmy scandal. Pages of it. Now they're kind of running scared because they know they're going to be in hot water with the government. And they're going to be too. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power there from such turn away. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and shack up with stupid, silly women who claim they didn't even know what they're going to get into. My God, how stupid can you get? I suppose that's how they figured the Pope didn't have bastards strung around the world all these years. Until he got a horrible disgrace and shame. Because he was just too holy to indulge. Too holy to indulge? Are you kidding? How stupid can people get, especially young people? I would to God the young people were taught right from their mothers and parents. Let them know exactly what's in the world and how to watch. If you think it's not a trap, you're mistaken. And if you think AIDS is not going to sweep the world, you're nuts. Because it's going to sweep. You already know it's going to lie dormant for 20 years. In other words, this world hasn't got 20 years for its last breath. I won't be 92 years of age. We won't have to wait that long. Don't kid yourselves. Better shake yourself and know you're living, but you're living in death. You want to get out of here. They're paying their price. Don't worry. Lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what you're looking at right there. So all of these things up here show you, because they cannot take the truth, they enter into every single thing that's mentioned. And if you don't believe that, read Romans the first chapter. I'll read it for you. Look, I tell you, we're never going to get through. We can preach one sermon, over 300, 400 sermons and go in the rapture. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. In other words, they substitute their own creeds and dogmas and things for the holy word of God. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, and God has showed it unto them. In other words, God absolutely manifested in a way they can't mistake to them, and they know that it was of God. For the invisible things of him that created the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made. In other words, types and shadows prove. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was dark, and professing themselves become wise, they became fools. They became insipid. They thought they were sophists, they became insipid. Yuck. And changed the glory of the uncorrupted God, an image made like to corrupt a man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They made man a God. Socialism. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. There you are, homosexuality. So what's going to happen? Judgment. Before the flood, you got it now. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith, but they'll proceed no further. There's no place else to go. Seventh church age. It's all over. Their folly made manifest to all men as also was theirs. But thou hast known fully my doctrine, manner of life. Notice, he said, first of all, he mentions his doctrine, then his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, and so on. All right. We're up at page 54, 231. Notice the children. That's the ones that cast the devils. If I cast out devils by the word of God, which he was the word of God, whom do your denominated children cast them out by? Well, it's the same Jesus, same name, same everything. Same God doing. Okay? And God alone can cast out a devil. We know that God alone can do it, for the strong man has to be stronger than the one in his house. And they had the power to do it. And he's telling you flat that they had the Holy Ghost and the ability from him to do this very thing that they are doing. Now, Brother Branham points out that the same anointing is on both. That's the true and the false. But only the prophet of God is the true one. You know that the book of Revelation there said that the Antichrist that rose up in the last days did signs and wonders that even deceived those that dwelt upon the face of the earth and deceived every one of them, Christians and all, whose names were not written in the book, the Lamb's book of life, answering to Matthew 24:24. Now, this statement here, in light of the tremendous anointing to do signs and wonders in the Holy Ghost that the anointed ones are doing now, Brother Branham switches it plumb over to the Antichrist, bringing out, I believe, what I've said many times, that I believe the Antichrist will be a fantastic, fabulous person. He will be so close to Jesus the Christ as to be absolutely pitiful. He'll be a fantastic person. He'll do all of these things. Now, you have great miracles, signs, and wonders coming out of Matthew 24:24. Now, notice he says to deceive every one of them, Christians and all. So, that 6 billion people, of which maybe only 1.5 billion are really nominal Christians or Christians. Now, how's he going to deceive everybody? Well, let's stop a minute. He's talking about signs and wonders, right? Daddy Bosworth went to Japan about age 75, maybe somewhere in there. Daddy Bosworth told me personally that he never had a failure when it came to praying for people with radical mastoids. I only had one time in my life that God put the eardrum and bones back in. I knew he would do it. How he'd do it, I have no idea right to this day, but I knew he'd do it. Don't ask me to pray for you if you got a radical mastoid. No, it wouldn't work. It just happened. Well, Daddy said every time he went to some place, he always called them to the platform because he knew God would do it. And he'd say, plug your good ear. After he prayed, there wasn't one case that the radical mastoid wasn't reversed. Now, that's very good, but Daddy Bosworth never said, I challenge you. He only preached healing. And he said, if God will do this, will you listen? Brother Branham in India, before 500,000 people, I suppose literally millions because they soon caught the word, deliberately challenged the prophets of Baal. And the man got healed. What if this should happen in this coming up? I don't know. But I'm just showing you the possibility. Don't sell anything short, brother, sister, what's going on today. It's going into headship, the final ripening stage. So, he says here, those whose names are not written in the book of life, Lamb's book, answering in Matthew 24:24, so that means they're responding right now. And he's not pointing so much at the Antichrist, though that's going to be a great showdown, big thing. But he wants you to watch the prophets of the world now that are going to bring in the Antichrist all the way and don't even know. Well, they're shouting, hallelujah, glory to God, they're going to bring in the Antichrist. Completely deceived. Now, that life that was in the root of that genuine orange tree. Okay, what was the light in the root of the orange tree? 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, root and offspring of David, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. No, he's not handling a spirit. Handle me as see a spirit hath not flesh and bone. This is flesh and blood and bone. So that's not spirit, but there's a spirit in there. And the spirit took a form on, so now it's light. You can't breed spirits. Spirit bring light. For the life was manifested. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life. In other words, in Him was the authority and the ability to become living like His creation. So therefore he did it. And what do they handle? They handle the body that was born from the womb of Mary, where the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal light. Now that's Zoe, which was in the Father, which was with the Father, in the Father. That's right. Just like John 1:1. And was manifested unto us, thoroughly known to be God manifest in flesh through the Son. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We thoroughly exegeticize it, showed you exactly how it was, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now what is he telling you? He's telling you the eternal Spirit had only one way to come into manifestation, and that was in the form of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life that was manifested, that Spirit that came into that physical being, was the light to every single man, and there's no other light. In other words, God himself, through nature and every single thing else, has shown that he is a living God, that he is spirit, he can be reached, he can be touched, he can be heard, he is available. And his availability was made to the point of handling. And you can see how that works in the prophets, all the way down. Okay, he says here, that light that was in the root, that genuine orange tree, that came up through all those citrus and everything else, and passed on, and put the fruit in the top of the tree, above all denomination, grass and branches. You got it? I'll hurry. He's telling you right there what? That the very life that was in Christ has now manifested itself at the top of the trees, come back in a perfect manifestation, showing God himself. Now here now, we are at the top of the tree, and we're the first fruits with the headship, which has come back to the church. From root to top, the same. 232, the strong man. Remember David now. He was honest and sincere, trying to do God a work, and wasn't ordained to do it. So character is not the issue. Character is not the issue. They, the anointed ones, do likewise. But Jesus said they're teaching for doctrine. They are teaching for their doctrine the interpretation of scriptures of men. In other words, they don't have a revelation. Not the word of God. Not his vindicated word. Teaching an historical Christ. Now, this is where they come against the truth. Now, looking down the road here, you might recall that Dr. Moon, with his universal church, was put on the spot and he was thrown in prison for doing what the Roman Catholic priests do all the time. Now, why? Because the Mooney has been a thorn in the flesh of the religionists. And those birds can't stand anybody to get in their hair or to take their money or their prestige or anything else. And the government deliberately used a ploy to maybe the Catholics and Protestants combined to try to get old Moon out of the way. Now, what do you think you're going to do with us when the time comes? I don't see that we've got any any room to sit around and think that something can't happen to us. I don't know. See? Now, again you'll notice that Brother Branham is hitting Hebrews 13 and 8. For he says, his historical Jesus, something that was. And the Bible said he is. I am, not I was, or will be. I am right now. I like that. Because people are still looking down the road. Why are you looking down the road? The thing, the person, and what he brought that's to get us out of here had better not disappear with what he brought, or we're stuck. The dynamizer had better be here. I want to let somebody tell me when he went. Brother Branham said he's got to increase. Who is he talking about? It's a certain thing that Brother Branham did decrease. He's dead, physically speaking. All right? They can't identify Hebrews 13 and 8, and they must identify him or they'll never believe the word. He's the word that lives through here. He was, in the beginning he was, the first shoot, then the blades, or he's first of all the shoot, then the blades. He was in the tassel, he was in the shuck, but now he's in the grain. Same grain that was planted has come on right back, and that's Hebrews 13 and 8. Proven he's here. 233. Now you go back and try to live again. In other words, you try to go back and live again. How would you like to be 16 years old if you're 20? How would you like to be 30 if you're 72? Well, I'd even settle for 55, if you want to know the truth. I might even settle for 65. I was in pretty good shape at 60, at least thought it was. I'm in better shape now, but I've got some rugged things happening. You can't go back and do it. Nobody can. What if that life took back down? You think that life ever would go back after that old shucks dried up, ever go back and live in it again? Wheat doesn't reverse and go back in the dead stock. That thing's only a carrier for life that's coming up, that's all. It never does. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and didn't move on with the word as it came to pass. If they take it further down the road, it's too late. Can't do it. See? Look at Catholicism. Why they said, listen, if Pope John 23rd had been Pope instead of Leo and Tetzel, we wouldn't have had the trouble. Why, sure, the Jews say, well, somebody else had been here, we wouldn't have crucified Jesus. People say, well, we wouldn't have treated the Methodists so bad. Now they're hugging the Pentecostals. When I was a kid, all I heard of the Pentecostals spoke in tongues, and they'd bring some Chinaman there, so-called, who heard them speaking the filthiest, ungodly language. You'd blush, and I'd never dare say what they're supposed to be saying in tongues. She. Hogwash. Stinking bunch of Methodists. Strung up old Joe Smith. Called him a horse thief. They just want to hear his religion. I think Joe Smith had better religion than they did. At least they had polygamy. These birds didn't even have that much. I'm not a fair polygamy. I'm just letting you know what I think of Methodism. They don't need to talk. Pentecost turned this down flat. They're dead. Do you think there's going to be a revival? There ain't no such thing as revival. Everybody talking revival. There's no way the church is going to have a revival. You can't bring it back. It's dead. What do you want to bring the chaff back for? The chaff is just about the most miserable thing under God's high heaven for a farmer to deal with. What's he going to do? Well, once in a while a cow will eat a little bit, lick his chops on a bit, maybe. Did you talk about brittle, cruddy stuff? Get that down the back of your neck and your clothes and things. Just like the barley beards. Wow. They're not much. Put in the soil. When does it finally mix in and deteriorate? Get back to humus. It's what the scripture says. Burn it. See? All right. He was in the shucked, but now he's in the grain. The same one came back, same Jesus, Hebrews 13 and 8. It'll never live again. The life will never go down in there. They cannot be enlightened. They're dead. They're gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh to rejection, they take their place with thorns and thistles, whose end is to be burnt. Notice they're now called thorns and thistles, showing you that the shuck is a borrower of what never was his in the first place. Life's gone on. Look at it. Let's face it. You can't suddenly say, well, now, this thistle was actually wheat light that went haywire. Hogwash. It was always thistle light. But you've got Christianity, the church, where the life was coming up. When that's the life has gone out of it, then what is there after the life goes up? Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. There's nothing there. So what is it? Same as tares. They're now called tares. Okay. They missed the revival of this hour. 234. Notice the scripture now. Teaching an historical God. See? Just like they're trying to live in the past. You know? This great fad for antiques. Oh, I'm not against them, but look. They don't mean too much. I think they're kind of nice to look at, but I'd soon have a modern bed myself, a modern car. Don't want to go back driving a horse and buggy or wheelbarrow. Well, Wesley said so and so and so and so and so and so. You're refusing the promised word of the day, the manna that's clearly identified for the day. They try to put their old Lutheran Baptist Pentecostal wines in our new bottles. It won't work. And our new wine in their own bottles won't work. If they try to put this new wine in the denominations, their folly's made manifest. They can't do it. It blows her up. In plain English, the denomination simply says, no dice. Get out. They won't take it. Now, brother, I've seen the Word of God perfectly by the Word. In other words, he's telling us by the Word of God, I see it manifested out here. It's all one. It's in vogue right now. It is present. All right. Hebrews 13 and 8 is the Christ life coming on the scene in every age and taking out the elect and moving on to the next age. Each time a new revelation comes, each time there's a new message. Absolutely. The manifested, vindicated life or word is in full effect and power at this hour, and the people turn it down. 235. Now look here, doctor. We can't have that. Now, Brother Meek speaks to Ned Iverson. Ned, I think you've had some of that lately. Ned tried to get out of the Presbyterian Church as a minister, and they said, we don't have any rules to get you out. You talk about a... Listen, the Masons, the Odd Fellows and Eagles can do better than that. Didn't know how to do it. Well, we just can't have that here. Now, I'd rather maybe that you just go on. You know, see, it won't work. It blows up. You don't put a new piece of garment on an old garment because it makes it all a rent. In other words, out of place entirely. See, Jesus didn't Jesus say that? You can't put new wine in old bottles. It blows them up. The new wine's got life in it. It's all right. Now, the organization, something like Jonah, is going to bomb it up. Jonah, the whale will vomit up Jonah for coming in. 236. Notice here something real quick while we're ending our talk. Notice Revelation 16, 13, 14. You want to put that down. I won't have time maybe to go to it. I want you to be sure to see it. Now notice, this is the sounding between the sixth and seventh vial. Now we're to close out in just a minute. If you can bear a few minutes longer, closing out. Revelation 16, 13 to 14. So we'll read it. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now that's singular, notice. Okay. Revelation 16, 13, 14, between the sixth and seventh vial. Okay. It's right in there. Three unclean spirits like frogs. You notice that? Went out of the mouth of someone. Now notice quickly. Are you ready? Say amen. A trinity of spirits. Now, denomination, brother, sit still just a minute. Don't get up and walk out of the room back there on this telephone hookup. Don't turn off your tape recorders. Sit still a minute and listen. If you're born of God, you will. A trinity of frogs. A frog is an animal that always looks backward. He never looks where he's going. He looks where he's come from. See? Don't you see? Where was the Trinitarianism born? Remember, three unclean spirits, individual spirits. Are you getting it? What would that be today? Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal, too. The fallen stars. Trinity doctrine. Notice, they look back to the Nicene Council where the Trinity doctrine was born. Not in the Bible. There's no such a thing. They look back to the Nicene Council at Nicaea. Now, you notice that Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost all look back to Rome and do not dare look at the word for the truth. They turn down the vindicated truth of Hebrews 6 and keep looking back to Nicaea. Nicaea, Rome, where the Trinity was born. Notice where they came from. Notice this Trinity of frogs came out of an old Trinity to give birth to a new Trinity, their mother. Okay? That's Revelation 13. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns upon his horns, ten crowns upon his head, the name blasphemy. The name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw like a leopard, and his feet, this was like Daniel, remember? And the feet of a bear, and his mouth of lion, mouth is the mouth of a lion, the dragon gave him power, and his seat and great authority, and I saw one of his heads that were wounds to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world went out of the beast. Now that is ancient Roman Empire that was mortally wounded by the heathen coming in, and rose up again under papal Rome. Because it's the same old Babylon seated on seven hills. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Now the beast, of course, symbolizes great power. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power given 42 months. Now, that's what you're looking at here. Is the beast that was killed and came back to life. And so, out of that old Trinity and heathen doctrine of Babylon, Rome took the title which Julius Caesar first took and became a pontiff. He took the Babylonian titles, and then the Pope did, firmly entrenching Rome and its Roman Catholic dogma as the great new force of chapter 13, which you'll see from verse 11, America rises up. This is America headed by the Catholics. The Catholics have taken over. They're predominant now, and they can pretty well, they do control everything. And they will control everything with the Protestant dogmas, which they'll embrace altogether. So, it says the Trinity, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet Trinity. When would these frogs come out? Now watch. When did it? Notice. They were there all the time. But it wasn't manifested until between the sixth and seventh vial, just before the seals opened to reveal it. Now what he's telling you is what I said before from Brother Branham. The wheat was there, the tares were there at the same time. Cain was there the same time Abel was there. Judas was there the same time Jesus was there. And what you've got at this point is the Trinity doctrine was fully exposed and Brother Branham completely repudiated because of the Trinity doctrine. So that's what you're looking at. There they were all the time, but it wasn't manifested until between the sixth and seventh vial, just before the seals opened to reveal it. For in the message of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God had been known. All these Trinitarian things and false baptism, everything would be made manifest. How is it made manifest? By vindication. So the seventh seal reveals all. What is under the vials of the great tribulation is already here and is revealed and proven by Revelation 16 and 15. Notice, behold, I come as... No. 16 chapter. Here, see now. And I saw 13... I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Said, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. And these are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So that's what you're looking at here in this scripture. Now he said, God help us to see the truth. But this is the very same thing that we see over here in under the seventh seal, Revelation 22 and 10. He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy book, for the time is at hand. He that is just is unjust, still filthy, filthy still, and so on. And then verse 18 to 19, I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of the book. If any man shall add to these things, God will add him the plagues that are written in this book. And you notice the plagues signify the great tribulation. So it's at the time of the great tribulation that the seals will be defied, and man is going to add what he wants to add to them. And that even could take in people, I suppose, to say they believe this message. 242. And don't think it's somebody trying to say something. In other words, I'm not trying to tell you something and put somebody down. For I feel somebody's spirits resenting what I'm saying. You see? I'm not speaking of myself, brother. I'm speaking of the angel of the Lord that's in the camp. That's exactly right. In other words, Brother Branham is the mouthpiece of God in this white throne sitting where they're all sitting down together. Now, people are already controlled by Revelation 16, 13 to 16. There are people already controlled who in the meeting that Brother Branham preached his sermon and out on the telephone lines. Many people sat there. Many people are still sitting and don't understand it. Notice, 243, a Trinity, the dragon. How many knows what the dragon was? It was Rome. And the dragon stood before the woman to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Okay, that's in Romans, the 12th chapter. This is speaking of Israel. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. The same one? Same mysterious organization. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as born. In other words, this organization down here is controlled by devils, fallen devils. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled to the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. Now, a lot of this is typical in here, but we know it's fulfilled already. Rome stood there to destroy the child because Herod wanted to kill the baby. God protected the child. That's Rome. So you can see what it is. The dragon is still here to destroy the Christ. That's certainly because the devil tried to destroy Jesus by temptation and take over. He destroyed Adam by temptation, Eve by temptation. But he will not destroy God. There's no way he can get to God. See, how could the devil get to God through the Holy, through the Spirit? God is Spirit. The devil couldn't touch him. But you put God into any form of manifestation, the devil can come right up against it. And that's what you've got to understand, what manifestation is all about. So the Trinity doctrine was already there at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, waiting for his chance. You know, before Jesus was born, the Trinity doctrine was in existence in China. And you can see the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost doctrine right there. And the Babylonian doctrine had Jesus as the husband of the mother. You get Hyslop's two Babylons, and you'll see things in there that absolutely will confound you and make you wonder where the Roman Catholic Church came from and where it's going with the rest of the Protestants. And I can tell you right now they're going to get burned. Do you understand that that's what the end is? Don't look for millions of people to be saved and a great big bunch of foolish virgins, this, that, and the other thing. Don't look for those. It's impossible, brother, when you begin to look at things in the light of the Scripture, taking all your types. Now, he said here, it was Rome and the dragon stood before the woman to devour a child soon as born. Is that right? What does beast mean in the Bible? Power. That's right. 2:44. False prophet, a false prophet, a false anointed one. See, started where? This is false prophet singular. We read it, 16 and 13. Look at it, yeah. False prophet, the first pope. And from there came up the whore and the mother of harlots. The whole thing. A false trinity was rising. Not in the early days. Wouldn't be made manifest in the early days. So it went right on through with it. But when the seven seals became and opened. Now they came into existence, time to be opened. And were opened those mysteries and revealed them. That's when the frogs, three unclean spirits like frogs, came out to manifest themselves. A trinity doctrine against the truth. And that's where Brother Branham got it. In the neck, spiritually speaking. And the oneness couldn't stand him because he was not Jesus only. So Brother Branham was of God. You can see what isn't of God. Is it that clear? No big mystery. If the red apple is poisoned and the green isn't, you take the green apple. So this is how you recognize truth and error. See where it came from? See where it's going back to. Ecumenical council. That's exactly right. The world and the church got together. They're all brothers anyhow. Same spirit, same thing. Yeah, the Catholics will tell you that. You got a Catholic baptism, you're Catholics. And watch. So deceiving, performing miracles. And these are devils that go forth to all the gods of the earth, working miracles to deceive them in the last day. That's the big shots of the earth, I think he means. And will succeed in doing it. What did God say about it? That evil spirit said, I'll go down and get in the mouth of those prophets and cause them to prophesy a lie. And cause Ahab to come out there and be destroyed. And so what they're doing? They're prophesying lies to cause the people to all be destroyed. You don't think for 1 minute that God killed Ahab and didn't kill the 400 prophets of Baal. You have to be ridiculous. Old Elijah killed them all off to begin with. Then he raised a whole bunch more up and he got killed too. The prophet that came against Jeremiah died too. See? Right in the service where Brother Branham was preaching, they raised their heads up. Who are they against now? The devils have incarnated themselves in these preachers. That's right. Because God said, go and you'll succeed. Now that lying devil that God sent there, I want to ask you, was that a spirit of God? No means. It was the spirit created by God that fell. So God let the spirit go in and took those people over. God said, go and you'll succeed. You'll get them to believe it. They're not on that word to begin with. See? Go. You'll persuade them. You'll be the one to do it when it gets in those false prophets, because Ahab's relying right on them. Do you think that's not going to happen today? Sure it is. They're ready for it. They want it. They say, hallelujah, this is it. We can have our toast, you know, our cake and eat it. Oh, sure. See? They're prophets. They're gods to the people. Remember, prophets are gods to the people, so they get in their gods. They get in their prophets. Sure. Okay. Page 57. Ahab relied on them. And Ahab doesn't know anything about the word. Neither will he try to learn about it. He can't do it, because he's a thistle to begin with. See? So he'll succeed. Yet Ahab was an Israelite, wasn't he? Yep. That looks like Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, that exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, they're not in the foreordination like you and I are. They're just ordained to it. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there are people that do that. In the first case, they make them three gods. There could only be two at the most. Because God is spirit, that's Holy Ghost. What are you going to do? Have two of them, two Holy Ghosts? Can't do it. And they deny the Lord Jesus the Christ. They're doing it right now. Right now in this message. The Lord descended with a shout, and our Lord will meet in the air. Jehovah said to Adonai, sit in my right hand. Who's here putting the church in order? God. Christ. Holy Spirit, Brother Ben said, to raise the dead. Who are we going to meet in the air when that Spirit becomes incarnate to us, having taken us to the wedding supper, will incarnate himself, we're crowned King, King, Lord, Lord. I don't think there can be any perfect, more pertinent than that. I don't know what the scripture says otherwise. What did Brother Branham say? Come on. William Branham never changed his doctrine, brother, sister. You'll succeed, said here, because they're all set up for it. Look here at these false frogs looking back. Why, you know what they said way back there at Nicaea. He'll tell you. We go way back there. I don't care what they said way back there in Nicaea. I'm saying what they said up here at the throne of God, what would be, not what was, what will be, for I am. In other words, Brother Branham says, caught up Revelations 4, 1 to 3, where the bride's taken, you know, the view in heaven. Revelation 10, 1, Hebrews 13, all those things. And Hebrews 12, he said, I'm telling you what's being said now because I am receiving the message from God. False. Look at that. Notice where they came from. Now listen closely, we see plainly after seven seals have been reopened, that's to reveal that mystery. What mystery? The Trinity. What is that Trinity? See? Where was it ever called Trinity? Where in the Bible did it even speak the word Trinity? Where could there be three gods that we worship, three gods and not be heathens? How can they be separate when he said, I and my Father are one? That's not Jesus only. Except you believe I am he, you'll perish in your sins, your unbelief. Okay? What's the mystery? How could they be one? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 18 and 19. And all things are of God, and he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, to this end, that God was in Christ. How did God reconcile us to him? By living in Jesus the Christ. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of Godness. God was manifest in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus. How did he get here? Born. What caused his birth? The creation of a sperm and an egg put in the womb of Mary. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. 1 John 1 to 3, we read it. See? Okay. 2:48. That's right. No Trinity, no sir. That's a false thing. seven seals, opening those mysteries that it should be finished, shows up. Shows up the false understanding. Seal open, disposes, shows up, makes plain the hidden truth that the seals had hid all these years through those churches and denominations. Okay, the truth of one God versus Trinity and Jesus only is manifested. The great whore, Revelation 7. Who was she? But she was the mother of harlots also. See? Now remember that all this harlotry and all this error is based on one single solitary scripture. Matthew 28:19. And it's been said that this is not original. Absolutely was not in the original. Where go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Of course, the good question comes up. Let's say it's in the original. Then you give me the name of the Father, because that's not a name. Give me the name of the Son, that's not a name. Holy Ghost says what it is. What is the name? I came in my Father's name. What was he named? Jehovah Savior. Jesus. Hey. All Trinitarians are condemned as idolaters. This has to be true. Otherwise, how can God give blanket destruction to the people? See, what brought all the sin of the world in as we know today in the church? The Trinitarian doctrine. That's the major one. Of course, it started seeping in at the time of Paul. 249. Now you call them vultures, you say, Brother Branham. That's right. But remember, a vulture is a bird. He is anointed to fly also. The two spirits be so close to deceive the very elected. A vulture is as big as an eagle. He can fly like an eagle. He's anointed to fly or to preach or to prophesy. Notice, the same as the eagle. But he can't follow the eagle in height. Oh, no. If he tries to follow the eagle, his follies will be made manifest. Yes, sir, he can't follow the eagle. Oh, you see, I believe in Jesus Christ being the Son of God. I believe God the Father Almighty, created heaven and earth. Jesus Christ, his Son, and so forth. Oh, sure, they do that. But what about him being the same yesterday, today, and forever? Can they take a Genesis 18? Can they take Malachi 4, 5, and 6? Notice we see two things here Brother Branham brings out very strong under the seals. One, there is one God. Number two, Hebrews 13 and 8, they must understand it, or there's no way they'll get the truth that Brother Branham preaches. And I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty hard truth to get into. Took me years to see what he's saying. I only got it by the constant pounding of the illustration of Genesis 18 when I suddenly saw that is Hebrews 13 and 8. That is God in his way. And that's what God had against Israel. They always saw his acts, but only Moses knew his way. And they wouldn't listen to Moses. And only Brother Branham knew the true way of God, and the people wouldn't listen. An eagle is a specially built bird. There's nothing like him on the earth. If a buzzard tries to follow him or any other bird, he'd disintegrate. His follies be made manifest, sure enough. He'd blup when he tried to put the new wine in old bottles. Sure. I told you about one fellow tried to say, thus saith the Lord from a vision. It didn't come to pass. He blew it. Then he blamed Brother Branham. He'd disintegrate. His body isn't put together with a structure to hold him up there. Look at it. You got to be born a prophet. Your subconscious mind and your conscious mind got to be blipped back and forth. It's too bad that, well, of course, Brother Branham's brains were so scrambled, there'd be no way they could have examined his brain to see just what his brain was really like. It'd been interesting to find out, because it was different. Mayo's Clinic knew it. His body's put with a different structure to get him up there. When he gets in that those great spheres up there, if he weren't made, ordained, predestined, born an eagle, he'd burst into pieces. Sure. Daniel got sick for 21 days. William Branham got sick, too. See, the feathers would fly out of his wings. He'd fall to earth. In other words, he couldn't navigate as a prophet. No way. The buzzard can't fall to the eagle in height. If he tries to, his fall to be man, a man of manifest. That's right. You can't do it. What's he trying to say? He said, look, these flies, guys can fly around with their miracles and signs and wonders, imitating and copying, proving they're of the devil. Now, that's a hard one right there. Well, you mean to tell me you got blanket coverage? You got blanket coverage. Make up your mind. Well, you're too nice. Be nice. I don't feel that nice. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. You got to believe the prophet. Your own thinking has got to go. They can't follow. See? Now, they can't get up there with the word. There's no way. So when you see somebody trying to do or doing what Brother Branham did since the prophet came and went, you know the guy is a phony and you know he's off the word. So when he says something, you know the prophet said it right. So you check with the prophet. How many minutes? Forget it. We'll have to go back to the ego. All right. We took it slow tonight. Took our time. So I hope you're getting these things down very, very strong, because remember, vindication is passé. It is finished. Over. Prophet? What's a prophet all about? Tell me. Word. What are the signs and wonders for? To point to the word. That's all. What do these people do signs and wonders for? To point to the word. Who is the word? Christ, Logos. Who are they looking for? Logos. Missed him. So we're privileged people. Let's rise. Grace, eternal Father, again we want to say how privileged we are, Lord, for your gathering us together in the holy name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Giving us, Lord, the desire to come, and then, Lord, the ability by your Holy Spirit to understand what is being said when we do come together, to see what the prophet told us. And Father, we're very grateful that you allow us to see some of the things that the prophet said. We know we don't get it all, but we do know we're getting a principle laid out here. And with the principle, Lord, then we should be able to maneuver quite well in these seas that are out here, Lord God. Treacherous shoals ahead, the prophet said, great waves coming, but he did tell us that the ship was properly adjusted. The propellers were there, everything necessary, everything in balance. And no doubt the gyroscopes, everything in perfect order, so that the boat would just crest every wave and take us to the safe harbor at last. So, Father, we want to just praise and thank you for this message, which we know gives us health to our souls. And we're praying, Lord, that the energy in our souls will be released into our minds, our spirits, our very bodies, until we form a unity with you, Lord, in such a way that we will be those true manifested sons of God, not showing outwardly, not demonstrating anything perhaps, but just being the beings we are. Father, heal our inner workings, heal our outer workings, O God. We just thank you now for everything. Take us on our way, bring us back again, Lord, together to further worship thy great and holy name, growing up more and more in Christ, putting more and more on Christ, maturing more and more until one day, Lord, the dead will come out of the ground. What a great union that'll be. What a great day to be caught up. But the greatest of all, Lord, is to see you incarnated. Crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, put such joy and such a thought in our hearts, Lord, that this great privilege has afforded us, that we'll hardly eat or sleep or drink, Lord, just thinking upon it, hardly waiting for that great day. God help us to be enthused and on fire as never before. To this end, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you.